Good morning. What do you do when you are faced with individuals who do not have the understanding of the character and the nature of Christ to which we understand? To be able to sense the presence of God and to be enveloped in his character, to be like us today who have come in this morning with bright eyes and bushy tails. What do you do when you meet people who seem as if that God has literally no place in their life? They have a natural tendency of looking at things through the lenses of a negative perspective, and they do not understand that God in Christ, Christ in God, God in Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all wrapped in together, that triune nature of God that is so distant from them, yet so close to us. What do you do when people who cannot understand the power of the cross and the ones who were willing to come to Christ and to receive the blessings that Christ has in store for them, what do you do to help awaken those who are dead? I mean, literally dead. I'm not talking about physically dead, but their death is in their spirituality. They have lost the sensitivities of the presence and the power of God, that they do not understand what we so joyously sing about in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is Lord, He's over us, He is in us, He works through us. What do you do to awaken dead people? You see, beloved, as I sat and goose pimples went up and down my arms this morning, little black goose pimples. And as I sat, I began to just feel the sense of being enveloped, John, by the presence of God. And Pastor, I can sense that here's a people who understand what it means to wrap their hearts and their minds around the person and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I felt like I was in the midst of my own family. And as I looked out, as I'm looking out today, it looks to me that everyone is wearing a beautiful afro. You see, beloved, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there isn't any one or any person or any individual that can inhibit the nature and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We are, in essence, the family of God. I want to talk this morning from the construct of the third chapter of the Gospel of John, but then we shall slide over into some other texts to help us unrattle and to break apart the nature and the character, what it means to be in Christos, to be in Christ, who is the hope of glory. And I want to also do something today that I pray that will be efficacious for you in helping you to execute with comfort the importance of sharing with others what God has shared with you. In other words, it is my prayer and my desire today to release the power of God in the heart and character of this church. In other words, not to keep sequestered behind the walls of this church and locked up that people who are driving by, who are far from God, will miss what God has given this church. It is my prayer today that God will use this day, this moment, this time to break loose all the things that hinders the church from being the church. That God will help us to do what I had to learn to do, and that is to leave Mississippi that Christ did in my life to help me to overcome my ethnicity, to see that it isn't about color, it's about Christ. It isn't about culture, it's about compassion. It isn't about my way or the highway. It's about there is a way that seems right to a man or to a woman, but the end thereof leads to death and destruction. For my thoughts are not his thoughts, nor my ways his ways. As far as the heavens are from the earth are my thoughts, my ways from the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just might get slightly excited this morning. But I want to provide a vehicle that God can use in your life to do something that is so unbelievable in its nature, to transform the culture and bring them to a reckoning to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great delight that is, to see people who are so distant from God, who really care nothing about God, who have no idea of what God has done in each of our lives, and to see people walking in and literally packing the pews. I mean, we are packing the pews. To see God do that, and then to think in our minds, Lord, who are we missing here today who need to receive and get what God has given to us? For the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, beloved, what then do we do to help those who are far from God, who do not understand the magnitude and the gravity of the grace that God has so abundantly provided for us? You know something, beloved? We just can't keep it to ourselves. We've got to do something about it. Look at the person next to you and say, we've got to tell somebody. I want to talk this morning from the thought, an invitation to Christ. An invitation to Christ. How do we invite others to get what God has given to us? John chapter 3, and just one verse, in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so the manner to which God loved. He loved so much so that he gave his only begotten, his monogeneo. Not his only son, but his monogeneo, his only begotten son. The mono ones, genesis, literally one of a kind. So God gave his only one of a kind son. The only one-of-a-kind son, there's no other kind that's like that one-of-a-kind son. He's the only one-of-a-kind son that can literally come all the way from heaven, from the portals of heaven, and come down and rest upon earth. The only one-of-a-kind son who can walk on the terrestrial landscapes to which God had to desolate because of the sins of humanity. The only one-of-a-kind son that was not necessarily, that came from the dust of the ground, but came from the heart of God. The only one-of-a-kind son, the only one who can reach into the heart of a lost person and bring them to a reckoning of themselves and help them to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The only one of a kind son who can live in you and live in me, and we can still keep our color. The only one of a kind son that can wrap his arms around us regardless of how big or tall we are. The only one of a kind son who can pick us up, turn us around, plant our feet on a solid foundation. He's the only one of a kind son. His name is Jesus. Oh, you can do that. If you do that, we'll get out early. Yeah. If not. But beloved, there is a methodology. There is a protocol that God has provided for us that we must not, we dare not, and we shall not keep it to ourselves. We've got the bus loose so that every seat in this house of God in Living Faith Lutheran Church would be those who fill each crack, each place. Think about every name of people that you know who are far from God and place them in these seats until they are literally packed down the aisles with chairs all around the pulpit. Think about people. Begin to think about individuals that you know that need an invitation to Christ. So, beloved, what then are the steps or the methodologies from a biblical perspective that provides for us the judicious nature to do what Christ has called us to do. To do it with great clarity and without any apology for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Step number one. Okay? That's the first step in an invitation to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the clarification of sin. You see, beloved, we got to help people to understand sin and to clarify it as simplistically as possible so they can understand what God has done in us, how God has changed us. We got to clarify to them very specifically what sin is all about. We got to help them to understand that there are some things about sin that, if not clarified, the individual will find themselves resting and relaxing in the nature of sin. It becomes a habitual lifestyle to which they cannot detach themselves from. We've got to give them the clarity of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that they can understand what sin is all about, and to make it as simplistic and as direct and understandable in a way that it does not push them away but draw them closer to the heart of God. We've got to provide a clarification of sin. Praise God for the great book of Romans that provides for us in clarity the nature of what it means to reckon in yourself that man is a sinner, that woman is a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, the Bible does not say some have sinned. You see, this racial thing that we have in our community, we think that the white sin is worse than the black sin. And then conversely, the black sin is worse than the white sin. And also, the red sin is worse than the yellow sin. But I'll start by this morning to tell you that all sin, that we are all sinful and shaped in iniquity, that all sin, it doesn't matter what color you are, we need to clarify that God hates sin. And not simply that God hates sin, but get this now. You can jot this down. But God loves the sinner. You got that now? God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Isn't that good? That's straight from Mississippi. I'm here to tell you. Isn't that good? So the clarification of sin, step one. Step two of inviting a person to Christ is the consequences of sin. You see, sin has consequences. My mother, Gladys Louise Ruth Agnes Taylor Loggins, she was a professional whippologist. She was a butt magician. My mother, we had several of us in Mississippi, and my father was an alcoholic. He got drunk regularly, and we lived in a shotgun house. Anybody know what a shotgun house is? Okay, a shotgun house is that you can look through every room in that house and see the dogs on the back tearing the clothes off the line. That's a shotgun house in Mississippi, all right? Where the dogs walked beneath the floor and the dirt was underneath. We played with the dogs in underneath the floor. We would sneak the dogs in the house and let the dogs sleep with us. And my mother and my sister would say, "You boys, get those dogs out of the house. You smell like a dog," okay? So a shotgun house. Three rooms, boo, boo, boo. And for 7-8 people living in a shotgun house. My mom told us when my father passed, died when I was 6 years old, he was hit by a train. Probably he owed a lot of people, and my father lost his life in a very demising way. Okay. We found his belt. We found a shoelace on the track in my hometown where my father was killed. And when my father died, my mother decided, she said, "I have four beautiful daughters, and I got some good-looking sisters. I have four beautiful sisters and daughters." And she said, "I don't want another man in this house with my daughters," okay? So my mother decided not to marry, okay? So she said, "I'm going to raise my children." And my mother allowed us one time to take food stamps. We took some food stamps one time. We got some commodity, and Mom had told us to clean the house up, and we decided we would do what we want to do. We ate up all the food and stuff, and we were laying out. It was a hot day. We had, my mother's language, we had hushed the windows. It's raising the window. Okay? So after hushing the windows, we had the TV on, and we ought to have eaten. We didn't clean the kitchen up. We didn't do anything. My mother was very specific about cleanliness. She, and Mom had specifically said, clean up the kitchen and the house when I get home from work. My mother, she was a maid, and she would get off this bus about a half a mile or so, and I was the watchman. You know, I would stand and watch and wait for Mom. I would look out the door or the window or whatever. So I was the watchman that day, and guess what? The watchman went to sleep. When the watchman went to sleep, my mother came in like King Kong that was married to Godzilla. And my mother came in, and she walked in the house, and my mother said, who messed up my house? My house is a mess. Where are you all? We jumped up like little rugrats. And when she walked in, we all laying out. We had eaten everything in the world. Our little stomachs were swollen. We were like seven little black pot-bellied pigs. And my mother said, I'm going to kill you. But there are consequences to sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, you get paid for your sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Watch this. You get paid for your sin. Isn't that great? But you get a gift for your salvation. Isn't that awesome? You get paid. See, some of us have been sinning so well. We're doing this so well that we're going to have to create a new bank. Some of us are going to put Chase out of business. The First National Bank out of business. We have been sinning so judiciously well that we're going to own, we would Trump Trump. We're going to make Trump trumped, okay? For all the money we have in our bank of sin. But then there are those of us who understand that the wages of sin is death, that we have embraced that which we cannot purchase, buy, or obtain. We have now the gift of God, which provides eternal life. God gives you a gift that you cannot ever pay for, and God is not one who would take it back. And God has given to each of us, those of us who are saved, you have the gift of God. If you don't have that, you need to see the pastor, the deacons, the elders. You don't need to leave here today without getting the greatest gift that God has just for you. Because your name is on it, and no one else can get it but you. Okay? The consequences of sin. What's the first one? I'm a teacher. What's the first one? What's the second one? The third step to inviting persons to Christ is confession of sin. Confession of sin. Confession of sin. 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out of a liar, and the truth of God is not within us, in our lives. Then Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be saved, should be saved, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. It's a heart issue that begins with a mouth confession that comes into us and makes us, whether black or white or red or green or purple, it doesn't matter to God. We're all, as my mama says it, chillens. We all belong to God, and we are the family of God. Let's say that. We are the family of God. The fourth step in inviting people to Christ who are far from God is this. It is the cleansing of sin, which is repentance. Repentance. The word repent, metanoia. Metanoia literally means to be going in this direction here. That is a change of life. So you can confess your sins all day long. You can confess your mess. Confess, I confess I'm doing wrong. I confess I'm living and doing what I should not be. I confess. Some people live in perpetual confessing, but they don't clean up their mess. But the Bible says, you got to confess your mess, okay? Acknowledge that you are a messed up person. You need God to help you. You're not all that in a bag of chips. Frankly, you're not even in the bag, okay? But once you confess your mess, you got to do something about your mess to get over the mess that you confessed about. You got that mess? Yeah? Good. So what do? You metanoia. You're going in this direction. And metanoia literally means that repentance means that you turn and go not 360 degrees. You're going still in the same direction, but you do 180 degrees and you're going in a new direction. That becomes a new you, a new attitude, a new person, a new perspective. You have a new marriage. You have a new husband. You get an upgrade. The cleansing of sin, which is repentance. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The basileia, the kingdom, the domain of God. The basileia is that domain of God. And what God wants to do, he wants to expand the domain of the church, that we have greater domains, that we can do greater work as we expand the domain of the work of God. And the domain is the totality of the influence of your life that expands the glory of God in your life. The doxa, the glory of God. Doxa logos, that is the glory. The glory of God. Doxa means his goodness, his word. You expand the word of God to the point that people know that you are a COG, a child of God. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has a gift just for you. It has your name on it. The fifth and conclusive step in inviting people from death to life, from disappointment to deliverance, from racial bigotry and anger and unforgiveness with a negative racial attitude. We all messed up. We've all deserved death and hell. Repeat with me. I'm not as good as I think I am. 1 Corinthians 15, 54b through 57. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died to conquer death, hell, and the grave, and sin itself. The Lord Jesus Christ died to set us free. He died until the sun, the S-U-N, refused to shine because of the S-O-N outshined the S-U-N. He died until the moon dripped in blood. He died until the stars literally fell from the sky. He died until dead bodies got up from the grave. He died until the centurion said, an unbeliever, surely he must be the Son of God. He died, and as old one black preacher said, and he repeated it, and he died. And he went real, real low down in the pulpit. He died. Every time he said, he died, he died, he died, he died. And then before you knew, he said, but early. And he jumped up across the pulpit just about. He rose from the grave. And because of his resurrected power, we are now brought together in fellowship with each other because Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and Jesus today is alive. Hallelujah. Who can say that Lutherans can't say hallelujah? Hallelujah! Who can say that Lutherans cannot act like African Americans? Hallelujah! Come on, saints! And the power that he has given to us, the power to save souls from hell, the power to take the sting out of death, hell and the grave, the power to heal marriages, the power to heal families, the power to bring home a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, the power to build, the power to break, the power to give life to each and every one of us. Beloved, this church, Living Faith Lutheran Church, I want you to know, you got the power. You got the power.
Amen.
There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all his guiltless stains. Lose all his guiltless stains. What a great delight and what a great blessing I've received in hanging out with my brand new family. I tell you, I'm so happy and glad until I'm glappy. I feel like Flipper. I tell you, it is such a glorious and wonderful delight to come all the way over to the East Coast and be on the outskirts of Philadelphia, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, where there's not a whole lot of love. There really isn't. But I want to encourage you. I've heard a lot of things about Boyertown, the negativities associated with it. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. Don't let people besmirch you. Don't believe that. I tell you one thing. This country boy from Mississippi, born on the wrong side of the tracks in a housing project. I tell folks I'm just a project from the project. And I don't ever want to forget that. I don't care how many degrees I've had, I have. I have more degrees than a turkey in the oven. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. But I'm here today to tell you that you have raised the temperature in my soul. And I am so proud of each and every one of you out here at Living Faith Lutheran. God is doing an incredible work in your church. And I know God is going to draw all kind of people to your church from all ethnic, all people, all nations, that we may be one, as the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in his high priestly prayer. I pray that we may be one, that the world may know that we are his disciples because of our love one for the other.